farmers really rely on cheap and efficient transportation of their products. And with our, you know, really aging and decaying infrastructure system, you know, it's becoming harder and harder to do that.
Hi, I'm Ed Meyer, and you're listening to the Business Forward podcast. Business Forward helps local business leaders fix Washington by bringing Washington to them. Subscribe to our podcast to hear conversations between policy experts, elected officials, and local business leaders about important issues like climate action and affordable health care.
In this episode, we hosted a briefing between business leaders and Will McGinty, National Rural Engagement Director on the Biden for President team. He discussed Vice President Biden's plan for agriculture and sustainable infrastructure, and answered questions relating to regional food systems, sustainable agriculture, biofuels, and rural infrastructure. We hope you enjoy the conversation. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining the call today. I'm Ed Meyer, and I'm partnering with Business Forward on this project. We're pleased to host Biden for President National Rural Engagement Director Will McGinty to our call today. Prior to joining Biden for President's team as the National Rural Engagement Director, Will held the role of Midwest Outreach Director at the U.S. Global Leadership Coalition. And before that, Will worked in the U.S. Department of Interior, where he served as the lead advance representative for Secretary Sally Jewell. So it's great to have you with us here, Will, and thanks for joining us today. I want to start out by I'm going to outline just a few things that we've seen Vice President identify in his policies to help farmers and ranchers. And I'll just list a few of them, then I'd love for us to dive into those kind of one by one. So, you know, first, the Biden-Harris campaign has committed to pursuing a trade policy that works. Second, they've committed to supporting beginning farmers. Third, you know, they've committed to fostering the development of regional food systems. And I'd love to dive into a little bit more about what that means. And then fourth, they've committed to promoting biofuels and partnering with farmers to achieve net zero emissions, giving farmers new sources of income. So walking through these one by one, and also I'm sure there's some things I've missed, so would love for you to help out in those areas. But let's start out with trade and the trade wars that we've seen in this Trump administration. You know, farmers have paid such a high price for those trade wars. Soybeans are America's second biggest crop, and China buys half of our soybean exports. And when China put a 25% tariff on soybeans, we lost a market that we've spent decades building. And you look at also the pork industry. Mexico and China buy about 40% of our pork exports. And when they put tariffs on our pork exports, we lost those markets. So the question around trade is really, how would Joe Biden handle trade differently to ensure that our farmers can compete?
Yeah, well, thanks again for having me. It's great to be with you all, and very excited about this conversation. And, you know, we have certainly seen how the damaging and erratic trade wars of this administration have certainly impacted farmers and ranchers across the country. I think no one would, you know, necessarily question the need to rein in China on the global stage, but I think that, you know, the real error here, and I think where Vice President Biden and Senator Harris would really provide, you know, different direction and different leadership on this, is that, you know, this administration has really gone it alone in this trade war with China, rather than, you know, utilizing our diplomatic corps and utilizing the strength of our allies across the world. We've really gone at it alone, and we've seen how that has you know, negatively impacted American agriculture and American workers. And so Vice President Biden and Senator Harris would pursue a smarter pro-worker, pro-family farmer and rancher trade policy. You know, we understand that more than 20% of all crops grown and products raised in the United States are exported, which supports hundreds of thousands of jobs and helps to stabilize farm income. And we've certainly seen those communities that are benefited by crops grown and those products that are exported, you know, pay a really heavy price. You know, farm bankruptcies jumped by 20% in 2019, which in part can be attributed to the effects of this trade war. And, you know, Vice President Biden knows that the difference between strong and effective trade enforcement and this, you know, really self-defeating strategy that has been pursued is ensuring that We're, you know, both promoting trade policy that works for our farmers, but also, you know, utilizing our diplomatic corps and utilizing the strength of our allies across the world in pursuing those trade policies that work for American workers and for American farmers.
Well, a second area that we've heard a bit about on this from this campaign is the importance of supporting new farmers and, you know, beginning farmers. How are their needs different from the more established farmers in the views of the Biden campaign?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and obviously there's a lot of capital involved in farming, and it's especially, you know, difficult for new and beginning farmers to kind of break into the industry without having, you know, inherited the land. And even if you have inherited, you know, the farm from your family, there's, you know, certainly a lot of cost and capital involved for beginning farmers. And so our plan would expand the Obama-Biden administration's microloan program for new and beginning farmers, doubling the maximum loan amount to $100,000. We would also increase funding for the USDA's farm ownership and operating loans that typically serve beginning farmers who grow up on a family farm, but that need low-cost capital to add to their family's operation to support another household. So those are two ways that we would support beginning farmers. I think also, and I know we'll talk a little bit about this, you mentioned it in kind of the intro, the need to invest in regional food systems. And I think that's another way through that effort that we can also support beginning farmers as well.
Well, tell us more about regional food systems. What are they? Why do they matter? What's the state of the regional food systems and how can we improve those?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think this is a huge need, and we've really seen this as supply chains have broken down through this pandemic, how vital it is to ensuring that we have access to fresh and nutritious food, both in rural and urban communities. And regional food systems are, you know, a real solution and help keep local food dollars in local communities. They help to incentivize the production of nutritious foods and also create new business opportunities and value-added agriculture in rural communities. The Vice President's plan expresses a commitment to investing in the infrastructure necessary and creating the environment for regional food systems to be successful. Our plan would partner with small and mid-sized farmers to help them collectively create supply chains to deliver fresh produce, as well as other products to schools, hospitals, and major state and federal institutions, including the Defense Department. This would allow these farmers to negotiate their own prices, and it would also help farmers identify markets for specialty crops and secondary products as well, that would help them bring in additional revenue.
Thanks, Will. We've gotten several questions around climate change and how farmers can help promote biofuels and partner to help achieve net zero emissions. And Phyllis Rubin from Downington, Pennsylvania, Patricia DeMarco from Pittsburgh, Rio de la Vista from Colorado are really asking questions around farming and agriculture practices that can help address climate change. Could you talk a little more about Vice President Biden's plans on those issues?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, there's a few different areas in which we, you know, really seek to partner with American agriculture to achieve solutions for climate change. And, you know, the first being that In our climate plan that was released back in, I believe, April of 2019, as well as our initial rule plan that was released in July of 2019, we called for achieving net zero emissions in American agriculture by partnering with farmers and ranchers so that better agriculture practices and deployment of digesters could generate new sources of revenues for our family farmers, ranchers, and landowners. The climate agenda is not just about growing nutritious food and making it accessible to all families, which is obviously, you know, very important to all of us in our way of life, but it's also about having water that they can rely on for growing that food. It's about local farms and fresh food for every community. And our plan would provide for a review of regulatory roadblocks to new innovations and invest in climate-friendly farming, such as conservation programs for cover crops and other practices aimed at restoring the soil and building soil carbon. and in the process, preventing runoff and helping family farmers deploy the latest technologies to maximize productivity. And the great thing about all of these plans is that it really generates new sources of income in the process for farmers. You know, we would really double down on the conservation stewardship program that has, you know, created great results in both, you know, creating that source of income for farmers that are utilizing these practices that are helping to conserve their land and capture carbon in the soil. So, you know, this is, you know, really kind of a really exciting opportunity, I think, and something that we've, you know, received a lot of great feedback from farmers and ranchers and folks across agriculture. And so, you know, really excited about that piece of the plan as well. Our plan also calls for supporting the ethanol industry and the biofuels industry, which are, you know, certainly both key tools in a, you know, liquid fuel source that is, you know, much cleaner burning and has been an added benefit for farm income as well. We've seen how the current administration has really catered primarily to big oil in some of the waivers that they have doled out to small refineries that has, you know, really hurt the biofuels industry as well as farm income. The vice president is a supporter of the renewable fuel standard. He's a supporter of renewable fuels in general and would ensure that we both promote ethanol, but also new advancements in other biofuels as well, which has both benefited our climate, but also been a huge benefit for farmers and for jobs in rural communities as well.
Yeah, thanks, Will. And I'd love for us to kind of pivot a little bit to infrastructure. You know, one of the ways that farmers can compete better is reducing their costs and making their operations more sustainable. And investing in a stronger infrastructure system is a big piece of that. According to the American Society of Civil Engineers, America's infrastructure scores a D+, which is not a good grade. And it's particularly bad in Midwest states that produce much of our crops and livestock. Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin rank 37th, 24th, 44th, and 36th, respectively, on the quality and condition of their infrastructure. Michigan has $13 billion need in drinking water infrastructure over the next 20 years. And Ohio's poor road conditions cost the average driver $544 each year. I'll give you a few more stats. Nearly one in five Pennsylvania bridges is structurally deficient, the nation's fifth worst, and nearly one-third of Wisconsin's roads are in poor condition, also the fifth worst in the country. So with these alarming and scary stats, you can see how farmers have, I think, great need in terms of infrastructure investments to help them get their, you know, products to market. And would love to know what Joe Biden's plan is for fixing these infrastructure challenges and helping out farmers across America.
Yeah. Well, and this is a huge need in rural communities. And I'm calling in from Iowa. And I think it was last year, it was announced that Iowa leads the nation with the most structurally deficient bridges in the entire country. So we know this very well, unfortunately. And our need is great, you know, across the country, and both huge just from a public infrastructure standpoint, but also for farmers. You know, I think the second part of your question, why it's important that we invest in this infrastructure for farmers. Farmers really rely on cheap and efficient transportation of their products. And with our, you know, really aging and decaying infrastructure system, you know, it's becoming harder and harder to do that cheaply and efficiently in this country. And so we really need to make these investments to ensure that. But our plan calls for, you know, really transforming our crumbling rural infrastructure from roads and bridges to water systems to electric grids to really lay a foundation for sustainable growth that will, you know, both sustain growth but also withstand the impacts of climate change. Our plan would ensure that rural communities across the country have access to clean, safe drinking water. We would also modernize our roads and bridges, our ports, Here in the Midwest, it's very important that we modernize our lock and dam system along inland waterways, especially on rivers like the Mississippi River, which is such a huge transportation hub for agricultural products and really vital to getting agricultural products to markets. We would leverage the federal resources to the maximum extent possible with the private sector. And, we would also build new roads to give farms and small businesses access to markets and an efficient means to participate in the global economy. Our plan also would create jobs by retrofitting buildings, weatherizing homes, and building affordable housing, both in rural and urban communities. And this is, as you stated, such a dire need for so many states and communities in our country, and this would be really a top priority for a Biden-Harris administration.
Coming in the 2016 campaign, both Trump and Secretary Clinton made big commitments to investing heavily in infrastructure, doing transformative plans. After President Trump won, he had a Republican House and Senate and never really, didn't pass a big, massive infrastructure transformative investment plan. What makes you think that a Biden-Harris administration can do this, can actually get this done and invest in America's future with the kind of investment that's required to transform our infrastructure system in our country?
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, we know that Vice President Biden has experience to get big things like this done. He oversaw the implementation of the Recovery Act, which was at that time the single biggest stimulus in American history, and really, put an end to the last big recession. And we're, we see ourselves now in both a public health crisis, but also, an economic crisis in this country, large unemployment and folks that have been impacted by COVID-19 and really kind of had the world turned upside down. And so we are, certainly in need of another economic recovery here when the next president is sworn in. And, Vice President Biden has been there and he's been able to, accomplish that before, working on both sides of the aisle. And he's also has a plan, that he's put forth and that we're, committed to working on that, that I think would find support on both sides of the aisle. I think there's an appetite, from both Democrats and Republicans to make these investments in our infrastructure and ensure that this economic recovery would work for all Americans. I think it will potentially make it much easier if Vice President Biden were to win the election in November, if there were a Democratic Senate for him to work with on this as well. But I think what we saw, through the implementation of the Recovery Act was Vice President Biden's ability to really, bring folks together to achieve, bipartisan support for an investment like this that's so needed for our country and that I think, we would be able to find bipartisan support for.
Thanks, Will. And so we've covered a lot on this call that a lot of issues that we've heard are important to farmers. And I think that Vice President Biden has addressed, the trade policy, supporting beginning farmers, regional food systems, climate change, sustainability and infrastructure. Is there anything we've missed in terms of his agriculture policy that anything else you'd like to, leave us with in terms of Vice President Biden's agricultural agenda for America?
Yeah, I would certainly encourage folks on the phone if you haven't already. We have our rural plan, which we actually recently updated to include other policies that we've rolled out in the past year that are relevant to rural communities. If you go to joebiden.com/rural-plan, you can find our plan, which is actually entitled the Build Back Better for Rural America plan. And, we obviously address some of our proposals for agriculture, but we know that farmers and ranchers and fishers are like, all rural Americans who are, facing challenges when it comes to access to rural health care, education, broadband infrastructure. And so our plan addresses, all of these issues and, certainly would point folks to take a look at that plan. you know, our plan calls for large investments in rural broadband, which we've seen is a huge issue right now as we're all, you know, really connecting, you know, through internet. And, you know, this has been an issue that existed pre-COVID and really, you know, something that would really unlock a lot of potential in rural communities if, you know, we were to make the investments necessary. And so our plan calls for making those necessary investments in expanding broadband. Our plan also calls for protecting and building upon the Affordable Care Act to expand access to healthcare in rural communities. We also would invest in rural public schools and colleges, and we would ensure that we partner with rural communities to help them fully access federal resources that oftentimes, you know, don't make their way into rural communities, which is a really important issue. And our plan is, you know, both about, you know, supporting American agriculture and, you know, ensuring the success of our food system, of our farmers and ranchers, who really drive our rural economy, but also ensuring that we're meeting the needs of the rural communities as a whole, and really making that investment that will allow, you know, our kids, our grandkids, and future generations to really, you know, be able to live and grow and work and find success at home and in our communities. So definitely encourage folks to take a look at the full plan at our website, and really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you today.
Well, thank you, Will. You've been hearing from Will McGinty, the National Rural Engagement Director for Biden for President. Thank you, Will, for coming on with us today and answering our questions on the Biden-Harris policy plan. And we really appreciate your time. So thanks again for joining us today.
For more information on Business Forward programming, visit businessfwd.org. The Business Forward podcast is a production of Business Forward, hosted by me, Ed Meyer, and Jim Doyle. Produced and engineered by Alexia Lipman and Alex Passanen. Special thanks to our Director of Programming, Janet Platt. Thank you for listening. See you next time.